Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Asto Tarasata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Asto Tarasata Shri Shrimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakundrada Kungiri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we're reading this morning from third canto, chapter 15, text 48. Natyantikam viganayantyapite prasadam. Natyantikam viganayantyapite prasadam. Kim vanyararpita bhayang bhruva unnayaiste. Kim vanyararpita bhayang bhruva unnayaiste. Yenga tvarangri sharana bhavata kataya. Yenga tvarangri sharana bhavata kataya. Kirtanya tirta yashasa kushala rasagya. Kirtanya tirta yashasa kushala rasagya. Please chant.
Atyantikam yantya pite prasadam. Kirtanya tirta yashasa kushala rasagya. Tvarangri sharana bhavata kataya. Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasa Krishala Rasagya.
Na not Atyantikam liberation Viganayanti care for Api even Te those Prasadam benedictions Kim u what to speak Anyat other material happiness Arpita given Bhayam fearfulness Bhuva of the eyebrows Unnayai by the raising Te your Ye those devotees Anga O Supreme Personality of Godhead Tvat your Angri lotus feet Sharana who have taken shelter Bhavata your Kataya narrations Kirtanya worth chanting Tirtha pure Yashasa glories Kushala very expert Rasagya knowers of the mellows or humors. So before we move to the translation, let's first properly do invocation. I forgot. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, translation. Please repeat. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation. To say nothing of other less important benedictions, like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The transcendental bliss enjoyed by the devotees of the Lord is completely different from the material happiness enjoyed by less intelligent persons. The less intelligent persons in the material world are engaged by the four principles of benediction called dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Generally, they prefer to take to religious life to achieve some material benediction, the purpose of which is to satisfy the senses. When by that process they become confused or frustrated in fulfilling the maximum amount of sense enjoyment, they try to become one with the Supreme, which is, according to their conception, mukti or liberation. There are five kinds of liberation, the least important of which is called sayujya, to become one with the Supreme. Devotees don't care for such liberation because they are actually intelligent. Nor are they inclined to accept any of the other four kinds of liberation, namely, to live on the same planet as the Lord, to live with him side by side as an associate, to have the same opulence and to attain the same bodily features. They are concerned only with glorifying the Supreme Lord and his auspicious activities. Pure devotional service is Shravanam Kirtanam. Pure devotees who take transcendental pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord do not care for any kind of liberation. Even if they are offered the five liberations, they refuse to accept them, as stated in the Bhagavatam in the third canto. Materialistic persons aspire for the sense enjoyment of heavenly pleasure in the heavenly kingdom, but devotees reject such material pleasure at once. The devotees do not even care for the post of Indra. A devotee knows that any pleasurable material position is subject to be annihilated at a certain point. Even if one reaches the post of Indra, Chandra, or any other demigod, he must be dissolved at a certain stage. A devotee is never interested in such temporary pleasure. From Vedic scriptures, it is understood that sometimes even Brahma and Indra fall down, but a devotee in the transcendental abode of the Lord never falls. This transcendental stage of life, in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes, is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was talking with Ramananda Roy, there were varieties of suggestions offered by Ramananda regarding spiritual realization. But Lord Chaitanya rejected all but one, that one should hear the glories of the Lord in association with pure devotees. That is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age. One should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We're continuing this beautiful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning of one of our most famous pastimes, but a part of the pastime which is also equally famous, the four Kumaras being accosted by Jayan Vijay, as we know. The significance of this verse in particular is that having received directly the mercy of Lord Narayan, the four Kumaras immediately give up their attachment to their Brahman realization and are also simultaneously immediately attracted to devotional service to the Lord in a mood of loving devotional service. And they begin to offer these verses to the Lord, which the first thing that stood out to me is that someone with an impersonal conception wouldn't offer any kind of prayer like this. So not only are their hearts transformed, but immediately also they have the ability to offer beautiful prayers of the highest order in that mood of loving devotion to the Lord, where they say, and it's very significant that they say, persons who are very expert and most intelligent and understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. So they're already convinced completely. That's when Prabhupada says, just one mantra of the holy name, you can become pure. So this is an example. Why? Because the holy name is non-different from Krishna. So the four Kumaras are coming in contact directly with the Lord, and immediately their hearts are transformed. So that same transformation is also available to us through the chanting of the holy name. And they go on to say, such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation. And I thought that was so interesting because they had already achieved it. And so it's not that they're just saying theoretically. They know from their own realization that they had the ability to traverse the material creation and enter into Vaikuntha, to the gates of Vaikuntha, right? To go and meet the Lord. So it's not, sometimes we are studying and we're understanding theoretically, but it's not necessarily from the beginning our experience. Experience comes with practice. So sometimes it's hard to, when Prabhupada says, even liberation, how many of us have experienced liberation that we know of, right? So it's not always so easy to say, yes, yes, who cares about liberation? So therefore, when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees and the instructions that come from there. And by studying the activities of the devotees, then we can become convinced. Because the four Kumaras had achieved liberation. So there's no need for us to strive for liberation because here are the four Kumaras. They achieved it and they are telling. An intelligent person doesn't care for these things. When during one lecture, Sachinandan Swami was speaking about, it was a Vyasa Puja lecture, and he was speaking about how the devotees would say, you know, may you never take birth again, may you never take birth again. And he said, actually, for a devotee, this isn't appropriate. Interesting. Why is that? Because we are not attached to our own liberation. We're attached to Krishna's service, he said. And if Krishna wants you to come back, then I'll come back. If Srila Prabhupada wants me to come back, then I'll come back. Doesn't mean we should be comfortable in the material world. It means our purpose, our goal is seva, not liberation. And it is said that Bhakti Devi, liberation comes as a servant. How can I serve you? So the devotee is very careful. I'm not actually interested in liberation, thank you very much, but I want to serve Krishna. And if Krishna wants me to be liberated and go back to him, then I'll go. But if Krishna wants me to do some other service, then I'll follow. Of course, this is a very high mentality. We shouldn't aspire to remain in the material world, but the idea is that we're not aspiring for liberation for the sake of liberation. But we're aspiring for liberation from material entanglement. Why? To ultimately engage in loving service of the Lord. So Prabhupada speaks about various stages of liberation in the first portion of this purport. And the pursuance of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha as the what is considered the goal of life in the material world, to become wealthy, to have a nice family, to be successful, and then culminating in liberation, of which Prabhupada explains there are the five types. And I was thinking how for us in the West, we're not really so much exposed to philosophy around different types of religion, liberation. Really, our exposure to, you can say, Eastern culture or any kind of culture that has this conception is primarily through Srila Prabhupada. There are very few people who have gone to India in pursuance of some particular spiritual path. So it's, again, also that, for example, liberation into the form of the Lord or liberation of achieving the same form of the Lord or liberation achieving the same opulence of the Lord, I feel like it's not always as compelling necessarily for devotees because we're not so much exposed to to that. Our exposure is primarily Srila Prabhupada's books. However, if for devotees who come from India or Asia, they know that it's very, very prominent. In India, there are thousands of religions and thousands of paths with all different types of liberation. And so there are worshippers of Lord Shiva, worshippers of Durga, worshippers of all the different incarnations and expansions of the Lord, many, many different kinds. And so Prabhupada is talking about how all of these various types of liberation are only little pieces of the glory of the Lord, right? Hearing directly about the Lord is the benediction of our acharyas and of our sampradaya, so that we don't need to aspire for many different kinds of liberation. We can directly aspire to serve the Lord. And the service of the Lord, primarily, the topmost service of the Lord, which is primarily performed by the devotees, Prabhupada is explaining, is Shravanam Kirtanam. So I thought that in the context of what may be a little bit more relatable for us living here in the West, is he speaks about also not just liberation, but also within the realm of the material world, very small kinds of liberation, right? Liberation from suffering of various kinds, the cessation of misery by achieving different types of happiness, specifically achieving some kind of role in society, the topmost of which is positions like Indra and Brahma and Chandra. And while we may not necessarily consciously have a desire for liberation, we do have a desire for these things, in liberation in these ways. If I can just be free from suffering, then I'll be happy, right? Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada would speak so heavily, so constantly, so repeatedly, because it's very subtle, it's hard to get out. If I can just be happy in this world, if I can just eliminate these inconveniences, then really, then everything will work out. Prabhupada gives his, of course, famous example. When my business is successful and my family is doing well, then I'll donate to the temple, and that will be my devotional service. But the Prabhupada talks about the position of Brahma and Indra and Chandra, that it's temporary. And he's saying, even that position is temporary. So what to speak of our position? We can't accumulate like the demigods can accumulate, right? We can get a nice, you know, a ninja blender and a nice car and a Tesla. But the demigods have a flying vehicle that can traverse space, right? They can enjoy in a way that we don't even have the capability of. So Prabhupada is saying, if you continue on your path of pursuing that success in the material world, and you go all the way up, it's temporary, just like your position. Same. But it's hard to believe. Even, again, in our own world, we look at a very rich person, and we say, if I had what they had, I think I would feel happy. I think then I would be happy. But it doesn't stop. It's interesting, I think everybody here knows Will Smith, the celebrity, and he's been in contact with devotees over the years, and slowly, slowly you see some change is happening in his mind. He also suffered a lot in the last couple of years. And so he said, I got to the point where I had so much. He said, I had everything. I had millions of dollars, right? I could do anything that I wanted. I was the biggest movie star in the entire world. He was. The most famous person in the world. And he said, you know what? It doesn't make you happy. Wow. Sometimes we need to hear it from somebody who experienced for us to really get it. Because most devotees, we don't have so much money. So we say, yeah, okay, maybe. But let me try. Then I'll know. He said, I had everything. And he says, none of that makes you happy. And he goes, you know, but in the Bhagavad Gita. And then he starts to speak about what he read in the Bhagavad Gita. So I thought that that was really compelling, because if you don't, for us as devotees, I'm saying for us as devotees to hear that, because let's say you don't have a scripture like Bhagavad Gita to refer to, someone may say that, but it's hard to believe, because what are the other options? So Prabhupada speaks extensively, and I want to bring some more purports in about the power of hearing about the Lord and understanding the position of the Lord according to scripture. Because then we can become convinced. Then these other things, oh yes, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Oh yes, Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavatam. That this position in the material world is temporary. And then, of course, though, those who are achieving or aspiring for liberation, they also know it's temporary. So what's the difference? So Prabhupada then goes on to say in this purport that not only are these aspirations temporary, but they are also inferior. And that's the next important piece to understand as devotees. The hierarchy of types of liberation, and that ultimately merging into the form of the Lord, Prabhupada said, is the least significant, or what does he say exactly? The least important of the types of liberation. So, and that's where the teachings of Bhagavad Gita come in, that we are an eternal conscious soul who has an eternal propensity for a relationship as a characteristic of the soul. So therefore, the impersonal liberation is incomplete. So what is complete and total perfection is a perfection of the perfected relationship with the Lord. So that it's inferior, and understanding why it's inferior and how it's inferior is an important part of the education of the devotees in our movement. It sometimes happens that there are philosophers or scholars who present some kind of challenge to the personal conception of the Lord as being superior and supreme. And again, excuse me, for those of us living in the West, it's also not so common that you come in contact with like a real impersonalist, like a very powerful impersonalist. You live your life, most likely you'll never meet someone like that. So why is it important? Because the impersonal conception of life is woven throughout the material conception of life. Material society is based on, the philosophy of material life is based on an impersonal conception of life. There's nothing after this, you just get one life, and you just go for it, because there's nothing after that. There's no God, there's no perfection, it's just you and however much you can accumulate and achieve in your life. So it's very subtly affecting our consciousness, especially if you're out in the world, you work, you have a job, you have co-workers, and it's very subtly a part of the fabric of our existence. The more and more that we're entangled in material life, or you can say, occupied in material life, right? In the sense you have to work, you have to provide for a family, you have to provide for yourself, pay the bills, all those things. But what we don't realize is that all of those things, they have like that residue of the harsh, stringent laws of material nature, which are constantly overcoming and enveloping the living entity in the material conception of life. So it kind of gets like that over time, that, you know, okay, I'm a devotee, but then I'm working really hard, and then over time, gradually, yeah, Krishna is there, the devotees are there, but I really need to focus on achieving what I want to achieve. And then many years can go by like that. I've seen even like in my, amongst my friends or my peers, I think we've all seen that it's not so easy to remain fully inspired and fully active in Krishna consciousness for a lifetime. And Bhakti Tirthaswami used to say that practicing spiritual life in the material world is like an uphill battle. Sometimes we have the tendency to think, I'll practice Krishna consciousness and then I'll take a break, and then I'll go again and I'll take a break. But he says, because it's an uphill, if you take a break, what happens? You slide downward, back. Why? Because it's all around us. It's a question of constantly, again and again, choosing devotional service when there are so many other choices to make. And so the lesson here in this pastime of the four Kumaras is to really understand that they have already achieved the highest thing that there is to achieve. And then immediately after coming in contact with the Lord, they immediately gave it up completely. So this is meant to give us faith that we don't need to make this journey of becoming successful in the material universe. Prabhupada would say, do what you need to do and then get out. So practically, we have our duties in this world means do what you need to do, take care of yourself, right? You go to work, all of these things. But to be convinced by regular study, by regular chanting, by regular association with devotees, that the goal of all of this is to maintain for the purpose of performing devotional service. And the real joy and the real pleasure in this world, over time we start to see is exclusively coming from devotional service. And our business in this material world, we only get pleasure from it insofar as we see it in connection to service to the Lord. So Prabhupada speaks about, and I want to now bring this purport. It's the second canto, third chapter, verse 24. Prabhupada says, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. And then another in the same regard is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, second chapter, 117th verse, where Prabhupada says, the desired change of heart is visible in the reluctance to do anything not congenial to the devotional way. So the four Kumaras are exhibiting this mood that we're not interested in anything else because it's not favorable for your devotional service. We're only interested in hearing and chanting what is most favorable for your service. So as a kind of metric for our progression in our own devotional lives, we can use this as a kind of a ruler. So sometimes we think of detachment in a very black and white way, that I'm just detached from the material world completely. But Prabhupada gives a very nice, I find this to be more, to use this is a more complete. I think sometimes in our enthusiasm we say, yeah, nothing in the material world, I'm not interested at all. And Prabhupada says, the desire change of heart is visible in the reluctance to do anything not congenial to the devotional way.
So it can be that, for example, my wife and I will have children. So our service is to raise our children, right? Our service is to take care of our family. So therefore, to go to work and these kind of things becomes congenial, no? Because the children now, who are they? Jivas entering into the devotional family for the purpose of continuing their spiritual journey. So then it becomes favorable. Maintaining a comfortable household becomes important, right? If we're suffering so much that we don't have food and we don't have a clean place to live, it's very difficult to practice spiritual life. So then these things become favorable. But it's according to our service. For another devotee, these things are not favorable. If he's a brahmachari or sannyas, right? Then comfort is not favorable for devotional service. So like Prabhupada says, grihastha ashram is a license you have for some pursuance, only though for the favorable execution of your devotional service of raising a family. So it's possible from the very beginning of our journey to think like this, a little bit of introspection. Okay, what do I want to do in this life? And what amongst those things that I desire, which of those things are congenial and which of those things are not? And to find a way to begin to address those and put our attention to those. And Prabhupada says one of the foremost of which is to not only hear from, but hear from a pure devotee. And I thought to share that hearing from a pure devotee in this context doesn't necessarily mean exclusively hearing a lecture or hearing a katha. It also means to cultivate a relationship, an intimate relationship where one can reveal one's mind. Many of us, we go through Krishna consciousness for many years and we don't have someone who we reveal our minds to intimately. And what happens is we can tend to feel either very lonely or that there are many things in our heart that are unaddressed over many long years, a long period of time, 20, 30, 40 years in Krishna consciousness, and maybe the same anarthas are still there, we don't address, because we're just on the outer level practicing Krishna consciousness. So the intimacy of sharing one's heart and revealing one's mind with a pure devotee is essential, because then they can directly, when we allow ourselves to be purified by approaching a devotee and taking shelter, that is how transformation of the heart really takes place, Prabhupada says in this purport, this second canto purport. It's essential. It's not just that we read and read and read, because realization comes through seva. When the heart becomes purified, then one can understand what you're reading. And we can say, well, doesn't reading purify the heart? Yes, but the acharyas are instructing, reading under the guidance of a pure devotee. Because it's important, we always have well-wishers, those who are looking out for us, and also that we are opening our hearts to the devotees. Everybody knows what it's like when you're a part of a community and you don't really connect with anyone. It's not so fulfilling. But not only is it not fulfilling, but the process is not touching your heart directly. That Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that is happening through chanting of the holy name. Yes, but even Haridas Thakur says chanting of the holy name should also be done under the guidance of a pure devotee. We all know that our hearts are covered by so many dirty things. And that is our primary purpose, to remove those things. It's not just to be a member of a society.
It's not to have a role as a member of the society or an authoritative role in the society. That's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means transformation of the heart. Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become Krishna consciousness. Krishna conscious. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness means that at some point we become conscious completely that the Lord is our ever-well-wisher, our dear friend. And that happens only at the core of the heart, and not how we dress. It's not which sangha I go to, I go here or I go there. These are methods, and the path is there. Prabhupada would say, if you do what I am telling you, then you'll see, you'll experience your relationship with Krishna. So we should always remember that we are doing these things for that reason, and not for the sake of doing them alone. This morning, I was trying to chant my rounds, and I was like, yeah, really struggling. My mind was so disturbed, and I was tired and falling asleep. And I thought, okay, this is, can I do this, you know, for the rest of my life? It's very difficult. Can I do this for the rest of my life? And then I thought, I'm going to the temple, and I will see Prangavinda Prabhu, I will see Mother Madhumati, I will see Mother Vegavati, I'll see the devotees. And then I felt a little bit joyful. Because, and I was also thinking, yesterday we met with Mother Mukhya, she invited us to her house. She's doing where she's inviting the devotees to come, and she's asking them what they would like to see, you know, change in the community or in the temple, what they would feel would make them feel more comfortable, or that it would be a better place for them. And I asked her about, because she was saying, yeah, I get up at 3 o'clock every morning. And I said, how do you do it? It's so hard. And she says, no, it's not. It's not hard. She said, it's easier for me to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning than to sleep in. So I felt really inspired through her association. And it wasn't, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the lecture, that the lecture isn't important. Please, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it was something, we were at her house just speaking. But because she's a devotee, because she's enlivened in her spiritual life, just by being in association with her, I was inspired. And just by being in association with her, she was sharing, yeah, I get up at 3 and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's my preference. It's easier than anything else. So that's what I mean to say, is that just to come and be here, the value is that the devotees are here and the Lord is here. And by serving together with the devotees, then we really get to see the mercy of the Lord when we can't see it on our own. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes we give up too quickly. I could say, I got up in the morning. I got up at 4 o'clock and I was chanting and I didn't feel anything. It doesn't work. No. Sometimes it happens like that. So association is the most important for that reason, that we are constantly reminded constantly of the glory of devotional service. And these pastimes are even more giving that conviction, that even the four Kumaras who achieved perfection, liberation, just by smelling the tulsi on the feet of the Lord, just as soon as that smell entered their nostrils, their whole conception was shattered. So what to speak? Every day the Lord is here. Every morning is another opportunity to connect with Krishna and to connect with his devotees. So I wanted to finish with one more thing from Srila Prabhupada. And he, in this second canto, third chapter, 24th verse, is really wonderful. I didn't have time even to cover all the things I wanted to share from it. But he shares the five symptoms of a devotee who has achieved bhava, right? The stage of being completely attached to the Lord and not interested at all in anything else. So he gives these five symptoms. The first is kshanti, cessation of material desires. The second is avyarta kalatvam, which is utilizing every moment in transcendental service. The next is nama gana sadaruchi, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Then priti stad vasati stale, attraction for living in the Lord, in the land of the Lord. Then virakti, complete detachment from material happiness. And mana shunyata, pridelessness. So finding and taking shelter of a devotee who exhibits those qualities, from that service, we can also, that's, we should have faith in that process. Not that necessarily we believe that we are qualified, but it's not a question of that. It's a question of having faith in the Shastra and serving accordingly. And I thought that to share that, because I felt particularly Sorry. Sorry. Srila Prabhupada's mercy on us is giving us an opportunity. To fall in love with Krishna. Sorry. Any questions or comments or corrections?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Ekadasi Devi Dasi for, offering her children Krishna. So, thank you. In the purport, when it mentioned the five kinds of liberation, two of them sound very desirable. And, one was that, being with Krishna, Not so much bodily or this or that, like you were saying, but, just that association of walking with Krishna, being with Krishna. So I was thinking, wow, why would we not aspire for that? And, when I would give tours in the palace, in the Palace of Gold, Srila Prabhupada's Palace of Gold, to a lot of the Indian pilgrimages and guests, when they had that diorama of from birth, old age, disease, and death, and it shows the bodily changes, So I would ask them, I would say, you know, there's a way that we can get off the wheel of samsara. Do you know what it is? And they would all say moksha, right? I'm not sure which moksha they were referring to, but, you know, probably more the impersonal aspect. But then my response, you know, was, you know, it's through devotional service, yeah. But I guess my question is, like, in my early time in Krishna consciousness, I really felt like I was rendering devotional service because the energy and the drive and the commitment, you're all in, right? And now it's like I question, you know. Am I really engaged in devotional service? I mean, I, to a certain degree, I feel like, yeah, I'm giving some time, some attention, some, but, yeah.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate so many things that you said today. And, but again, it's a reflection. You know, I have to continue looking within to see how much am I giving, how much am I, you know, how complacent have I become? Like you said, in a whole lifetime, it's hard to stay, you know, like to feel like you're continuously making advancement, you know. It's like you say, if you're not going up, you're sliding down. And, But I feel like the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada is so profound that even we might have this illusory sense of falling back, but I feel that they have us, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, and it's to make us humble, you know, to say, wow, if it wouldn't be for the costless mercy of these two, you know, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to apologize for crying, so you don't apologize either.
Is, oh. No, I was just going to say, I also had the question of, maybe someone can say that the liberation of being in association with the Lord, what is that? And why is it undesirable? I'm interested to know also. Because I heard of the residence of Narayan. Someone said in a lecture, I think it was here, I'm not sure, that Krishna's in the vicinity, but they don't have a relationship. So they're in ecstasy knowing that Lord Narayan is there, but they don't have a direct relationship with him. And I'm not sure if that's correct, if that's what that's referring to, I don't know. But maybe after Madhumati we can find an answer.
Anyway, yeah, Prangavendra Prabhu can answer that. I was just wanted to say that I appreciated the point you were making as far as to be able to reveal one's mind and to be guided in the association of a pure devotee. I was appreciating, but what I appreciated more than that is that when you were describing that, then you expressed your interaction with Mother Mukhya and how in her association you felt inspired. It just made me think about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because sometimes we think pure devotee somewhere up there. It reminded me of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where each devotee, when Narad Muni says to them that, oh, you're the pure devotee you have, and they didn't go right away saying, oh, no, gopis are the pure devotee. No, they just went to the person above them, so to speak, and mentioned that, oh, they are, you know, go to them, go to the Pandavas, go to Uddhava, go to, you know. So I was really appreciating your point, how you give that example, and yeah, thank you so much. And Thank you for your inspiring class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your very wonderful class. And I wanted to say also that I don't take any credit. Ananta has a beautiful wife, and she takes very good care of him. So I'm very happy for the both of them. And I also wanted to say, as far as that, what you were saying about, or what you were asking about being with Krishna, so I was thinking, I know Pran Govinda Prabhu will give the correct answer, but my speculation was, I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, he was with Krishna. But, so what was better than that? Better than that was to serve, to just really put yourself out to try to make Krishna happy. So even more than his own happiness of being with him, but going out and spreading this movement, even, you know, in spite of so many difficulties. So that's what came to my mind.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a nice class. In one lecture, Prabhupada says Arjuna is example of being near to Krishna. And I just wanted to add that. Thank you. Mm.
Hare Krishna, very good class. Actually, I need, the thing is, you have informed that devotional to the devotees as well as coming to the temple, the same way I am asking the during the arati, what is getting as a devotee? That's what, see, there are some things, some cleanliness is happening or internally. That's my question.
Sorry, can you repeat?
So you have said come to temple and connect with the devotee. The same thing I'm coming, praying with the arati.
Yes.
In participating in arati, that is, of Bhagavan, so the meaning that a cleaning is happening with all these activities, coming temple, devotees, what is the benefit of getting the arati as well?
Uh-huh. What is the benefit of being a part of the arati?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, I know Prabhupada would speak about his morning program as your... First, he says, you come and Krishna sees you. Oh, you come to be seen by the Lord. And then the arati, of course, is the various articles being offered to the Lord, various types of service, devotional service. And the devotees participating in the arati are also participating in that. It's not just the pujari. I'm trying to think of something from scripture, but I can't think, so I will ask someone to. Yeah, but that's there, I know. As a regular, that regular aspect of the coming to the temple is that you come and be a part of the arati and be a part of the service to the Lord in that way. And also the Lord receives different artis throughout the day. That is just part of the standard worship of the Lord. And so at any of those times, the devotees can come and also be a part of that offering to the Lord by performing kirtan, by hearing katha, like that.
Okay. Yeah, see, my question is, when I was some cleanliness and meditation, when participating the bhajanas, kirtanas, I feel that meditation. So participating arati, I will get cleanliness, internal cleanliness. That is my question.
Yes, you will. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So So that's the thing.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I think we should stop. Yes. We are out of time, unfortunately. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Haribol.